It's 10 o'clock in the UK, 5 a.m. Eastern, sorry, 6 a.m. Eastern for the next week or so. And welcome to Blubbing for Britain, episode 169. And I'm in the broadcast studio and it's just me. So who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what I'm going to talk about? I'm waiting for, well, I know Peter is actually physically in London. He might be coming in via mobile phone. Who knows? John, I've not heard from or seen this morning. And Stephen, I know, went to a breakfast meeting. So that's the state of play. Welcome to the show. And, well, we live in interesting times politically. Our Prime Minister is on a journey to Europe today to plead for an extension to the date when we should leave the EU, which is less than 10 days away. It's on the 29th of March, 2019. We are leaving the EU unless something happens before then. Now, what's going to happen before then is, first of all, there is a poll, and I'm going to share my screen if I can. So I'm going to share my desktop screen. I'm going to bring in a poll, and I'm going to leave that poll there during the show. So got the poll, okay, and you'll see why in a moment. I'm actually going to bring the poll up on the screen next to me. I'll put it full screen and then go picture in picture. This is a poll which says revoke Article 50 and remain in the EU. Yesterday it had 220,000 signatures. As you can see at the moment, 643,000 people have signed up to the petition saying that we should actually leave the EU. Sorry, stay in the EU, revoke Article 50. Now, our government can do that anytime they like. They can say, right, okay, we're staying. And a lot of people want them to do that. And I'm going to leave that on screen because the count is going to keep going up during the show. And in actual fact, the site is so busy that it crashed about an hour ago and took a while to come back, but it's back now and voting continues. Well, voting will continue. People will continue to get involved. And I'm just checking that. I'm just going to go to Messenger and see what the state of play is on my co-host who disappeared. Okay, so I said Theresa May is currently in on her way to Europe to urge people to just checking actually posted. Yes, I posted both links. And yeah, so all's good. I've done my bit. That's what I was sort of concerned about. I've done my bit to actually get the show on the road. I don't know where my co-hosts are. But I'm going to continue anyway. This could be the shortest Blubbing for Britain ever, you say. Thank you. We've been doing this now for 169 weeks, and we are still good friends. In fact, we get to know each other a little more every time we come live and chat for an hour in your company. And it's been quite a ride, and we've been through so many different systems, and we're now on BeLive.tv. And we're stable and we're enjoying ourselves, and all is good. But we live in the real world. And last night, our Prime Minister was on the doorstep of 10 Downing Street, which is her official town residence, as it were. And she broadcast to the nation. And basically, she was not at her best. I think that's fair to say. And she has stated, she stated publicly that, I'm just, morning, John.
Good morning. Sorry I didn't join you straight away. Couldn't get the bloody camera to work.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Okay. You're here now. That's the good thing. So I'll give my version of what Mrs. May did yesterday. It's very strange. She was on the doorstep of 10 Downing Street. She gave a sort of 10-minute speech, took no questions whatsoever, and basically said that she wanted to get back to running the country, to looking after the health service, the police, defence, schools. And basically Parliament weren't behaving and they weren't accepting the deal that she's put forward twice and been defeated on. And it's all their fault. And she's the best Prime Minister ever. And she's on our side. Do you believe her, John?
No, I've signed the Let's Revoke Article 50 petition. So that gives you a clue of where I stand.
Well, I've signed it too. And I've actually got a screen share running. Let's just bring it up. I'm going to put it
was at 342,000 when I saw. Oh, blimey.
There you go.
It's almost doubled overnight.
It has almost doubled overnight. And in actual fact, round about 8:45, the site crashed with a 502. By Gateway. So they've done well to actually bring it back so quickly. But this is, I mean, with the People's March taking place on Saturday as well, this is the biggest outcry from the people saying, you're wrong, that we could do, because the timing for this petition is just right. Because after Parliament had actually knocked her back twice, she's threatened to come for a third time. Then she made that speech last night, which said Parliament,
a bunch of rude words. Yeah.
A bunch of rude words, and they're not worth. Well, she can't have her own way, is what she's saying.
I can only see her falling on her sword in the next few days, because she's not going to be able to satisfy the EU, because there is no way she's going to get that through. Bribery will have taken place.
Well, she bribed the DUP, didn't she?
That hasn't worked, has it?
They've still got a mind of their own. And so that's not worked. She can't even control her own party, never mind Labour. Left, right, different voices.
I just wish Jeremy would be a bit more divisive and say, you know, we want to do this, instead of, well, folks, what do you think we should do?
Okay. Mr. Campbell was on television just before I came.
I didn't see that.
Mr. Alistair Campbell from Burnley, a Burnley supporter.
The Joker man.
Political advisor to Tony Blair. And he was saying
just
that
a dirty word. How dare you use that word, Blair?
God. Right. Well, I mentioned the word Iraq in the same breath. Does that? Yeah. He was speaking common sense. Apparently, Jeremy is in Europe as we speak. He is talking about a different approach, which you and I might find more acceptable than the one that's on the table at the moment. That is to stay part of the customs union.
I find that very acceptable, whether it's a Norway or a Canada plus or a Switzerland or whatever version of it they keep throwing around. I think it just makes bloody sense. Shouldn't use that word for that.
No, I'll bleep that out, John. It makes sense, because we're actually cutting our own throats if we leave the EU totally. It's just, you know, you've got passion on one side and common sense on the other.
If I talk to a number of my friends who I know voted to leave, there was only one of them that still wants to leave out of about a dozen.
That's it. People have been changing their minds. Right. And
he's an idiot, but we won't go into that.
Right.
That's quite a pleasant fellow, though.
The petition to revoke Article 50 has had 20,000 new signatures since John and I started talking. That's a lot, isn't it? I've just refreshed it. Now 674.
When it gets to 10,000, is or is it 100,000? One or the other. It has to be debated in Parliament, doesn't
Correct.
It?
Yeah.
But will there be a time for such a debate?
Well, they're going to start
timetable.
Well, there's no time in Parliament for anything of no. Well, they're going to talk about the EU, so there's time Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday of next week to actually do something. I'm sure they've got to take account of it.
Jeremy wants to revoke Article 50 and then restart negotiations.
Well, that'd be good. And we say hello to Claire.
Hiya, Claire.
And I know where we're going to be on Saturday. I'll message you afterwards because Claire's coming up from Brighton to London, and we're going down to London from Devizes, and we're hoping to meet up.
Hold your manners together.
Yes, we are. We're gonna strut our stuff for Academy and march down. That takes us back, doesn't it?
Academy, yes.
Yeah. So we'll all be there. Well, and you'll be there in spirit, John.
Yeah, would you want rum or whiskey?
Right. Like that, we're just talking about the petition. I'm going to risk refreshing.
It's going to go through 700,000.
Well, it's got an amazing 20,000 since we came live on air. So,
no, it's gone up 40,000.
All right, okay.
It was at 643 when you posted it up.
All right, and a thumbs up from Claire. Okay, right. Okay, so we'll keep that running. But in the meantime, there are other topics I want to talk about. We're expecting Mr. Stephen Silk, who is up in the Stoke area, because I thought he was going to meet Peter in London.
But did you see Peter's picture yesterday?
Yes.
I cannot make my mind up whether it was a pigeon or a seagull. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it was typical Peter, I'm going to say that. And it was funny, but it was strange as well.
Well, if it was a pigeon, it suits his business, because that's his current success, is, you know, stopping pigeons going underneath solar panels.
Could be.
I could just see Pete turning up at a call out with the blooming pigeon head on, you know? And he'd think it was funny. Not sure what the client would think.
Indeed, I'm not sure either. Right, Claire is saying that when she signed the petition yesterday, it had 140,000 signatures. So
yeah, it was about 3:40 when I signed it at about midnight last night.
So it's obviously going viral.
Well, I posted it on my own timeline.
Yeah, well, I signed it because you posted that. So that's a direct win. I found it, saw it on my timeline. Right, okay. Well, we're going to leave that running.
See the other one next to it? The change.org petition?
No.
Okay. You know the Commonwealth Games is coming to Birmingham?
Yep.
In the corner of the park, and it is a massive park, it's one of the biggest parks, Perry Park Parks is one of the biggest parks in Birmingham. In the one corner is the stadium, the athletic stadium. And in the corner next to it is 106 allotments. It's been rounded to 100 in the talk, but it's actually 106 allotments. The allotments are almost 100 years old. And the Commonwealth Games lasts 14 days. The proposal is to throw all of those allotment tiers off and to build on the land. Temporary housing for the athletes. So I'm pretty disgusted by that, which I've posted the petition up for that. You know, to me, why ruin something that 100 people enjoy on a regular basis for something that's going to last 14 days? And there's plenty of other room in the park where it could go. The housing, that is.
Point well made, John. Is there a petition? And then that's where the change.org comes in.
Yeah, well, that petition is next to this one on my timeline.
Okay, now talking about timelines and news feeds, I'll drop those down for a moment. We'll bring them back momentarily. Facebook are making changes. And they're going to concentrate on Messenger and groups and anything that's not newsfeed. Because the guy who does the newsfeed left Facebook last week, the guy responsible for keeping control over it. He left Facebook last week, and Mr. Zuckerberg has said that the newsfeed will eventually disappear. Do you use it? We must do.
Is the news feed equivalent to your timeline?
Yep, as far as I know.
And now, you see all of them in time.
Yep. Unless we've got it wrong, Claire. Claire, if we've got it wrong, then let us know. But we think the news feed and the timeline are the equivalent, because that's where we get our news from. That's how we know what's going on. And Claire set off saying she's going to sign that petition, John. We've got to dash, so a meeting to go to. We'll try and keep you in my ear as I go there. Thank you. Speaking of which, after the show, this show will become a podcast, and you will find it on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Anchor.fm, and you can listen to it on the go as you're jogging or walking or shopping. We can be chatting away about meaningful topics, well, meaningful to us anyway. So Brian for Britain's.
So not only on Facebook can you watch, stroke, listen to four old farts, if you'll excuse my expression, you can now anytime drop them in your ear.
Indeed, indeed.
I feel so inclined.
Podcasts are the future. I mean, the thing about podcasts is you can listen to it anywhere. You don't need, you're not watching anything. You can be totally doing something else and just listening to it. So,
I'm not a great podcaster or podcast fan, so.
Right. I know somebody who is.
If I want to listen to something while I'm doing something else, it's invariably Radio 4.
Claire's saying Claire makes great use of the newsfeed too. So do I. I mean, I want to plan your post without it. Anyway, talking of podcasts and the upcoming podcast from this gentleman.
It's smooth as silk.
Morning all, how are we?
We're good. And you, sir?
Not bad at all.
It's smooth as silk, the king of spreadsheets.
Oh, I should good get you to do my marketing, John.
Right, okay. Now we've done the we've talked a little bit about Brexit, but if you want to give your thoughts on Mrs. May's performance last night.
It's all going ever so well. I mean, I love the way it's all clearly thought out. All the actions are in place, and it's just all about the shouting, really, isn't it now?
What? Her resignation?
That's a great way to bring the sentence. It's all over by the shouting. What a complete and utter mockery. Yeah. I mean, 2.5 years, the civil service of 28 countries, can't sort this out. We started doing this 2 years ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
We nearly.
Yeah. Look at what we've achieved. We're in harmony most of the time.
We've even got me and Peter talking.
Yeah.
I didn't meet him yesterday, by the way, just far too busy, but you know, me and him are talking friendlily, although he has given up, hasn't he, really, old Pete, frankly.
He's given up on politics, yeah.
So I'm not sure who wins. Maybe it's a score draw on that one. But it's all going very well. And apparently she's going to Brussels again today. It's a really nice place. I've been to the Berlaymont, which is the building where all the bureaucrats live. And it's mile upon mile of corridor. And they have wine when they have European meetings, you know. They have wine at lunchtime. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know. It makes sense, though, being in that area.
Does it? I mean, you go for a meeting over there, and it was usually about funding, research funding for the university. And so you go for these meetings in the morning. Oh, you'll have a drink, Stephen. Yes, thank you very much. And then you're fast asleep from about 2 o'clock onwards.
Well, I mean, Belgium is the land of breweries.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Bloody expensive breweries.
Well, yeah, it's all designer beers. But
yeah, but if you go onto the main square in Brussels, which is absolutely gorgeous, it would be £10 a bottle easily.
Yep.
Craziness. Man, you can only drink one of them, so I suppose that's a good thing.
I prefer my beer without cherries or chocolate or other.
Oh, why did you say that, John? You've opened a can of worms. Well, obviously not.
Belgian beer is a delicacy. It's awesome. I mean, the thing is that the way that the breweries came about is quite simple and straightforward. The farmers had to keep their workers. Well, they started the breweries at the farms for the workers, so the workers could have a beer at lunchtime. That's why, literally, there are thousands of different craft beers available in Belgium. And if you go into a pub in Belgium, and you can see rack after rack after rack of different beers, all with a different taste. And you could sort of sit outside till 2 a.m, just drinking bottle after bottle. And then your friend makes sure you get back to the hotel safe. That was I think that was in 2007 with Freddie Dames.
Well, in the UK, we've got in Stoke, we've got a brewery.
I was going to say there's yet another reference to Academy there, Freddie.
In Stoke, we've got the Titanic Brewery. And the finest beer in the world and beats the crap out of all those Belgian beers is Plum Porter. It's just gorgeous. It's not sweet, really. It's just plum. It's my favourite beer in the world. And that says something.
Unfortunately, it's gone off the shelf in Aldi because I think it was only on as one of their... They rotate the beers that they have available.
I'll arrange a parcel, John. Yeah, one sent out to you because it's absolutely delightful.
I'm more of a cider and rum man, not together.
Why are you? Okay. What about you, Leader? What are you?
Guinness, fine wines, a decent pint of bitter. Yeah, I'll drink anything really.
Why not?
The website that we were going to feature. Throughout the show, where people are joining the campaign to revoke Article 50, which had 140,000 signatures yesterday and 680,000 signatures this morning. The site has crashed, so we can't show you the latest figures. When it comes back, we will. I've got no doubt that we'll have crashed over 700,000 then. Right, so Brexit goes on. We've only got another week to talk of it pre-Brexit. So, special program next week. The last show pre-Brexit or pre the non-Brexit or.
And we should have a clue whether we need parachutes or not, shouldn't we? By Thursday next week, you know, for the jump out of Europe the following day.
Yeah, but you won't get in the sky because all the planes be grounded.
Yeah. Indeed. Have you been stockpiling at all?
Yeah, I've got all my beer.
The important stuff. Okay. I mean, we've been getting dried foods and things just because you can.
Listen, mate, Devizes is the centre of the universe. You're not going to go.
No, we've been getting German ones because they'll be in short supply, mate.
It'll be all right. Pete told us it'll be all right. Don't worry. so we can blame them.
Yeah, we can't go and shop at Pete's, can we?
Yeah, of course we can't turn up. You promised us £350 million a week. We'll have 20 quid's worth of Aberdeen Angus. Thank you very much. But you're all very calm about it, you know. You should be in the street.
You know, Pete lives on a mountain, don't you?
Say again.
Pete lives on a mountain. Number one, oh no, I won't say the house number. Number Benbecula Road.
Right. Okay. We are on the street, Stephen.
Peter, sing to us, please. Maybe thousands more. Peter, don't sing.
He would have to chirp to us, wouldn't he, based on yesterday's photograph?
Why? What did he do yesterday?
He was seen wearing, we're not sure. I think it was supposed to be a pigeon head, but it certainly looked more like a seagull's head. At Pest X or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
did you actually go to Pest X?
I didn't go to this one. I've got too much, doing ridiculous hours at the moment. I just couldn't justify it because I've got customers to deliver for, so I don't go. But there's another one in a bit closer to home later on in the year, so I'll go to that. And I think Pete will go to that one as well. He's been before.
He usually comes to one in sort of
Coventry.
All right. Well, it might be the same one because last year it was at the National Motorcycle Museum. Because he said he was going to give me a ring when he was here, because I live like 3 miles from that, but he didn't ring me.
Yeah. He doesn't like you, really. He says he does. Go on, Stephen, what's new?
I'm just waiting for that website to come back, because I'm most concerned that...
Is it a government one?
Yeah, it's the petitions for Parliament.
There you go. Conspiracy. It's a conspiracy.
It's got a 502 bad gateway. It's crashing on the app, well, every couple
too
of
too many hours, people probably. Hitting it. Can't
cope. That's right. It can't cope.
There's no point, though. There's no point going on it. Because it's going to take about a year for it to percolate through to the ultimate place, which is to have a debate in Parliament. My God, we've had enough of those to last a lifetime.
Right. Anyway, good morning from Fons, and good morning, Fons.
Are you going on this march on Saturday, Pete? Stephen?
Yes. Claire is coming too. So it's Angelica, myself and Claire. And Adrian and Sam are going to be there. And quite a few people are actually going to be there. Whether you actually meet them in a crowd of a million, difficult.
It will be quite big, won't it? Because it's the last opportunity to say something, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all meeting up in Park Lane. The Hilton Hotel, and we set off from there, headed towards the Houses of Parliament, and it's going to be the slowest 5K ever, really. But it's going to be an experience, and Franz is wondering if Brexit is the most used word of 2019. I think it might be, and we say good morning to Kelly. Morning, Kelly. It's one of those things. It's a once in a lifetime thing because we were only leaving the EU once in my lifetime anyway. So I just want to be able to put my support behind staying in the EU in a physical way. And between us, an 18 quid return coach trip to London is probably the bargain of the day.
Yes, right. They didn't tell you it was a 1930s charabang that you're going on, did they?
This is Wiltshire. We've got decent coaches. I'll thank you for that.
You're going to take a nice English
ferry. It's a canal barge from the basin all the way to Westminster.
Well, tell you what, you could go on the Kennethaven Canal, get a barge, and go all the way to the Houses of Parliament.
Well, that's a good advice to Westminster.
Yeah, you could, but why would you?
Well, you wouldn't, because it's safer and faster by coach.
Yeah. Did you see Farage has got something? Farage has got some walk from somewhere northeast down to somewhere south.
They were going from Sunderland to London. And the idea is that they arrive at the same time as the People's March and sort of show an opposition to the People's March.
Oh, right.
We want Brexit. Well, the last time I heard about it was there are a bunch of about 50 of them walking down the side of a dual carriageway. And that was it. Yeah.
Somebody put a tweet of his, an old tweet, and it didn't help his cause. And there's a photo of him looking as gormless as ever, but he's I don't know if he's a force anymore, but he's done enough damage, so maybe just let him go.
People actually paid to be on his march because they had the costs of organising, the costs of accommodation, so you had to pay to go on the march. But the magic thing was that he started with the march, walking a few miles, and then he's not taking any further part. So it's not a march with Nigel Farage, it's a march organised by Nigel Farage. Anyway, okay, I think it's not going to reach London. Well, okay. And Fonz is saying, got my grandson staying, so this is a refreshing relief from 2 days of Peppa the... Wow, we're better than Peppa the Pig and Paw Patrol. And Fonz knows all the dogs' names now.
Right, today there are just over 40 still involved.
Oh, right, okay, John, yeah.
However, crowdfunder has crowdfunder has been launched to refund the 40 people left.
Right. Okay. Well, I think they should get the money back because, as Stephen will agree, they were sold a false promise.
Oh, yes.
Oh dear, these Brexiters, eh? They tell some stories. Right, talking of, let's just change the topic slightly for a moment and bring this on the screen. April 16th is Don't Stream and Drive Day. And during the course of that day, Mr. John Upton and I, together with Sergeant TCS, will be broadcasting to raise awareness of Don't Stream and Drive, we should never do it, should we, John?
We should never stream and drive, no. But I regularly see people doing it. And even though you tell them that it has terrible potential for killing them or somebody else, they just carry on.
Yeah. Do you see people doing it, Stephen?
All the time. Not streaming, but on the phones.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, it's distracted driving. And on the day, which is April 16th, just a reminder, then you can find out more about how you can help. But for the moment, you can help directly. If you go to this link, which I'm just posting now, you'll be taken to a video which explains how the system works. For Downstream and Drive. We can't do what Neil's done for the last 3 years. We can't run a thunderclap. So we're using Facebook Messenger, and all you have to do is talk to Neil, and you're then part of Neil's team and can help us promote on the 16th of April. It's simple and straightforward. You sign up now. We send you a message on April 15th. Nothing before then. One message on April 15th, and then you're part of the team, and you can decide whether to post on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or Pinterest to get the message out. And the more people are actually involved, the better. And I've signed up, waiting for John to sign up. And if anybody watching this show could actually sign up as well. The campaign has started. It will get going in earnest when Sergeant TCS says. So we're ready to go. When Neil's ready to go. we have to remember he is a serving policeman, and therefore his duties must come first. So, April 16th, debt-free diary. We're live on below.tv on the Sergeant TCS page, and we're broadcasting morning, afternoon, and evening, as we usually do and have done for the last 3 years. And it's just a good day to be involved, John.
Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed it the last few years. Seen some horrific photos as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've had the stories that have been told and joined it with people in Canada and the USA as well. Right, okay, back down to planet England, planet UK. We are not in Europe. We should be in Europe. We aren't in Europe. Never mind. It gets confusing. Okay, now, something that has happened since last time we're on air happened in New Zealand.
Oh.
And I think your side there, it says it all, Stephen. It was absolutely shocking. And I don't want to go into the details of it, but in terms of a government actually taking action, much as our government took action after Dunblane, the New Zealand government is taking action and is banning military-style weapons. And they're doing that.
With making ownership of them illegal. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about all the ones that are out there at the moment?
Yeah, no, they're going to have to be surrendered.
Ooh, that's good.
According to Jacinda, however you pronounce the name. I have to say, I really like one thing that she's done. She refuses to mention his name to glorify him.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, mate.
I think that's really amazing.
And some of the stories that are coming out about the response, the heroism that was shown, that's what you should always focus on. But again, of course, the Orange Monster's influence has been partly accredited to the attack. Talking about, because every single lots of outrages going on around the world are being encouraged by the Orange Monster through his words about white supremacy. He's all, and some of the American, let's call them shooters, have sort of recognized Trump's message as a sort of a call to arms. He's got to go.
We're in the second half of his term now, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah. And people are sort of saying that in order to avoid being indicted, he's going to have to run in 2020. Hey, Paul, welcome, mate. In order to avoid being indicted, he's going to have to run again because you can't indict a sitting president. The criminal stuff, apparently.
Right.
But I'm almost not sure if he's the real problem and that it's the Republicans who are the problem. Because he's just a poster boy for Republicanism, isn't he?
He's a diversion.
One day, somebody in that party will grow a pair and say, this isn't right. Have you seen what he's done about John McCain today?
Yeah, yeah. There are parallels here, Stephen, with the Conservative Party.
There are.
If somebody in the Conservative Party had the cojones to do something, but they don't.
Unfortunately, you've got people like Lord Fauntleroy, who's got the biggest mouth you can hear of. And he's the one who's doing all that. Haven't heard from Boris for a while, have we? Our own little mini Trump.
He's laying low.
Yeah.
He hasn't said a bloody word, apart from his Telegraph racist column, for months.
And David Davis switched sides without explaining why. Well, nobody noticed until afterwards.
And the creepy fox bloke.
Yeah.
This is going to be the easiest way to get deals and he's got one with the Faroe Islands and
Fiji. We've got a trade deal with Fiji. We are good for everything that Fiji produces.
Well,
I've actually been there. beautiful island. It is third world, but one of their major incomes is tourism, and the tourist facilities are first world, most definitely.
But can you name any brands you know from Fiji, you know?
No.
Well, there is a brand of Fiji water, which is bottled water. It doesn't come from Fiji, but it's called Fiji water. Carlsberg comes from Burton-on-Trent these days. And the other one, there is a worldwide brand called Pure Fiji, which is ladies' skin cream. I only know because one of my older customers who's moved to Canada now tried to get the UK franchise.
Should we get some sponsorship from Fiji? Supported by the island of Fiji.
Tell you what, we're more likely to get sponsorship for the podcast than we are for the...
Oh, yes, of course, program. We're doing that now, aren't we? Hello, everybody, yes. On the radio.
All right, okay. Talking of podcasts, Stephen.
Oh, podcasts, we're getting very excited. You'll be aware that because I've always blanked on about it, there's a lady called Charlotte Foster Productions. She's currently doing some work with Radio Stoke. She's my podcast producer. She's bloody brilliant at it. We do the podcast from the global headquarters of Edge Apps, which is where I am now. And we had my good friend Diane Brassington of Westbury Ironing. She came in the other day and we had a good old natter. And it really is about just talking about lovely people and businesses in Staffordshire.
Yeah.
And we have such a laugh, but Charlotte's great at pulling us down from the, if we're gossiping about somebody or if we're doing something overtly selling, salesy type stuff. You can't say that. But we've got two in the can, I think, if that's the word, and I'm doing another one. And I need to arrange a Skypey thing with you, Mr. Healy.
Very good.
And I'll invite John to do one. Actually, I could do it with both of you, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an idea.
You can do that.
Yeah, I like that. Because we can talk about, we could even get the Mad Scott involved. We could do a podcast about Bowling for Britain and the fun and games we've had over the last 2 years.
Surely.
That'd be a good idea. Yeah, I like that idea. Okay. So we're going to sort of start. She wants to get three or four of them ready.
Yeah.
And then we'll publish them on, what did she say? I think it was SoundCloud will be the core place.
The host, yeah.
Then it got host, yes, that's the word. And then it gets exported.
This all came out of the fact, really, that Stephen and I used to drink at lunchtimes and then he moved south. So we started nattering and then Blabbing for Britain came out of that.
Drinking at lunchtimes?
Yeah, yeah. And not every day, only now.
No, I know.
And funny enough, the other day, Angelica apologised to me for stealing him.
She did.
It's like when I say, I'm going to meet a gentleman from the internet tonight. Funny looks, you know.
All is good. And we say hello to Jason and hello to Paul, as we did a moment ago.
Well, Paul Sheldon, is an ace. Where's he gone? Is he still on there? There he is, yeah. He's an ace graphic designer. And he's done some brilliant stuff for local businesses, big businesses, international businesses. He's bloody brilliant. And he's just had some horrendous knee surgery, which, and I've got some photos of him, which I'll gladly share, but They're horrible. And we told him. Okay. But he's back now, back in action. But I know Paul from something called the SING, which is Stone Independent Networking Group, which meets weekly at the Stone Golf Club. And we don't know how. And the thing is, between, I go to a couple of networking groups, independent ones around here. And the thing is that they're all, should we say, bijou, they're all gorgeously small. And so the relationships you build, you know how you go to those ones in Birmingham, John?
I think there's too many people, or they only have one per trade and they're all selling stationery.
We haven't got any of that.
Honestly, that's the biggest thing that happens when you go to networking, people try to sell you stationery.
Do you mean
leave a good price, John?
Sorry?
Do they have bargains on offer?
No, they're all more special. I can't use the word staples anymore because it doesn't exist, but that's where I used to go for mine. These days, I buy my paper and stuff in Asda or Tesco's.
What's Asda?
Sorry, paper, you know.
Asda.
Or Tesco's. Oh, I nearly fell over then.
You're going to have to get that wall fixed, John.
I'm trying to move into a different room, but I'm receiving resistance from the other half. There are two empty bloody bedrooms that are each one is four times the size of this, and one is 2.5 times the size of this. But I'm receiving resistance from me being allowed to do it.
Well, who's in charge in your house, mate?
She is, definitely.
Very open and honest, John.
Not open and honest. I know which side my bread is buttered if I want to eat and get my clothes washed.
Paul is saying, thank you, Mr. Silk.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Silk. Commissioner Way, there's nothing wrong with stationery.
Printed matter, that is.
Like it. Yeah. Like it. No, he's a great guy. Great guy. So if anybody in the West Midlands, maybe Staffordshire wants some brilliant graphic design.
Staffordshire, I'll have the West Midlands, thank you very much.
Okay.
My work away.
Look at it. We've always said we need sponsorship. I've always said we should get sponsorship. And we've got the Fijian Islands to talk to and Paul Sheldon of Shuey Graphics. Anybody else wants to make a bid?
Well, Donna Marie's in the audience, so she might. You never know. You never know who's watching. You never know. And you certainly don't know who's listening to a podcast. That's the other thing. You're going to have to start a Stephen Silk fan club somewhere to find out who's actually, or a web page.
Oh, well, that's going to... bloody web page.
I own the name blabbingforbritain.co.uk, so we could put that into use. When we first started, I bought it, you know.
Let's do it. I mean, are we still happy with Blabbing for Britain as a name?
I don't believe after 4 years we can change it.
We're stuck with it. We've got a brand. We have a brand.
We've had the domain name for the best part of the 4 years as well. I just keep renewing it every year.
And Jason's agreeing, Stephen, that the ladies of the house are always in charge when it.
That is because an angry lady.
You have to make them think they're in charge. It's dead easy.
Yeah, well, somebody said something on Franco's show the other week, and she went mad. I even took a screen snap of her going, and now whenever she's on, I call her Angry Lady, and she laughs.
Which is just a way. Right, okay. Anything else on the go? Are we done? Brexit. We've only got one more Brexit show to go, which will be next week. and then we'll have left, so we don't need to talk about it anymore. Or not. Okay, no, I found this.
It didn't last that long.
And just totally left field. Rogue waves are occurring less but becoming more extreme. You've got a calm sea, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes a wave.
I thought you meant one of these. A rogue wave.
This doesn't not matter a jot to you and I, but to ships on the sea, the problem is that the rogue waves are getting higher and higher. Just so we were aware. Okay. Next topic.
1 second, on blabbingforbritain.co.uk.
Doesn't exist. Okay. So, I think it's with a four.
Sound of a man typing.
Right. Okay. Now, not to be a scaremonger, but we're going to run out of water. Going to run out of water in the UK in 25 years' time.
John needs some now.
It's gone quiet. They're both searching the web.
Fake news, mate. It's fake news. We are going to have loads and loads of water available because the Conservatives have said they'll sort it. Fake news, man. Hey, you wouldn't believe how many images on Google there are for Blabbing Britain.
Yeah, we own Google.
Hundreds of them.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. We do have a brand. Update on the news. The government website, which is for petitions, is currently, what's the phrase? Down for maintenance, which is better than a 502. And just before it went down, it showed that 694,000 people have now signed the petition, which is 60,000 more than when the show started. So we're having an effect, gents. Because we posted a link at the start of the show.
So your fault. That's it. Your fault.
It's one of these things that's actually going viral. Yeah. And with the timing of the march on Saturday, all good.
Yes.
All good.
Blabbing for Britain is for.co.uk. And it's valid till Jan the 21st, 2020 at this moment in time.
Okay, so we've got to keep going still then. That's still at least the next year.
Well,
can manage that.
It's on automatic renewal, so nobody will be pinching it.
Right.
Oh, and we're on Stitcher as well, mate. Oh, you are.
Okay, yeah, we're on Stitcher.
Yeah.
No, it says on Stitcher, it does say, or on, yeah, it says Blabbing for Britain, doesn't it?
Yeah, it says Stephen Healy on 5 days Live and Blabbing for Britain.
Correct.
On Stitcher.com.
Yeah.
I registered that domain on the 21st of January, 2016.
See, again, Brexit time. It's all down to you, mate.
Do any of you own .eu names?
No.
No.
If we crash out with no agreement, we do not have the right to keep them after 90 days after exit.
Bullshit.
No, it's true. Not fake news. That's
it's
true.
Let me put it like this. You have a commercial relationship with ICANN or whoever does the...
No, then it's not an ICANN at all. It's Euro something or other. I've had a formal letter because I have in my possession 3.eus. And I have been formally advised that unless they have an office in the EU, if we crash out the EU, we'll be given 90 days to make alternative arrangements.
You are joking. This is the thing. When people hear about this...
We're not talking yesterday. We're talking back in January I had this notice.
Oh, ages ago. Can you imagine if the people on the internet hear about that? The 700,000 people on that government website... Double. It's a disgrace. You entered into a legal contract for that, John, and they're reneging on it. Whatever's next, planes flying out the room.
Well, it is interesting because are they going to refund you for any amount of time left?
Yeah, but you ought to. Well, no. I'd sue them. Where? European Court of Justice.
There'll be something in the small print.
I'm not overly worried. Two of them belong to me. I have johnupton.eu and I have johnu.eu. But the third one is a client. Right. And he's been using it for donkey's years because he left Tamworth. He moved to the Spain. Mm-hmm. We set up telephone connectivity. So he kept his home number from Hinckley and his Tamworth office, and they rang in Spain. But he's come home. And so he's not entitled to use it anymore because he doesn't have the Spanish address anymore. So it's going to be interesting for him because it's the address everybody knows him by, because he's had it for probably 10 years now.
But, my shout out for the day, my turn, I'll go first. Next Tuesday is the charity show, which runs from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the UK. Myself, Fons Chamberlain and Bridgetti Limbunda. We will be featuring charities from South Africa and Africa, from Europe and from the UK and Canada. If you have a charity that you want to promote, just send me a message and a link to the charity. We're here to raise awareness, not to raise money. We want to raise awareness of all charitable enterprises or causes. And it's a 4-hour show on Tuesday, next Tuesday, starting at 2 p.m. I know it's going to 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Next week, which is 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern. So you should find us next Tuesday. Okay, that's my advert. Stephen, you've got an advert?
No.
Oh, right. Okay. You're not selling it. You see, you can't do it on a podcast, but you can do it on Blogging for Britain.
No, I'll pass. Right. I should just talk about Stoke-on-Trent, of course, where it's a probably 90 degrees, gorgeous sunny weather.
Right. Well, it was gorgeous.
Coming onto the beach. What?
It was gorgeous and sunny at 6, but it's dull grey and overcast now.
In Solihull, maybe, but this is God's country up here, mate.
Yeah, I know, and you're swinging from the palm trees after this. Yeah.
Right, just a bit about football then. Burnley need to work hard between now and the end of the season. We need to stay up. We've had a run of 4 defeats, which is not good this time of year. Stay with the manager. Sean Dyche is awesome. We'll stay with the manager, and the form will return. And we'll stay up. So it's
no
over.
One will take his job anyway because he's no money to spend. He has to bring everybody up through the youth team.
True.
And then sell them.
Okay, and over to Stoke for news of Stoke.
Yes, sir. It's going better than Brexit.
It's going better than Brexit.
No. We could be there. Might be playing you next season, mate, if you're not careful.
It's not going to happen.
I'm trying to get... Where do I find out where we are?
You mean that's going to... Oh, he's gone. I was going to say that means because Burnley are going down to the depths that Stoke have already plummeted to.
No, that's not... It's not. He's urgently back.
It's not Stoke going the other way, but here is it. Let's face it.
It's not there. Are you a Villa person, John?
To be honest with you, I've never really been a genuine football fan. Yeah, I've been to Villa Park 3 times, every time for business meetings, business shows. I'm not much of a football person, but I'm showing interest in the Wolves because I think it's exciting to see Wolves go from almost obscurity to number 7 in the Premier League. So that's what I'm interested in. But I'm really, really interested in Solihull Moors because currently 2nd in the National League and we have game in hand over the people who are 1st and only 1 point difference with only 7 matches left. And if they have a very good chance of being promoted to Division 2.
We're 16th, 10 points above relegation.
Sorry?
We're 16th, 10 points above relegation.
I think you're comfortable for the season, but you're not where you want to be, which was going back up as fast as possible.
We were promised that we would leaving the championship this year to go to back to the promised land.
Your third manager in no time at all.
Well, it's like having Brexit secretaries. They just come along every week.
I thought we'd got an idiot, you know, because I've never been mad at the ex-Walsall manager that we now have. He came from Brentford. But he seems to have turned it round, and we only need a couple of points to be comfortable in the playoffs, because
what the hell are Wolves doing at seventh?
See, that snuck up on you, didn't it? You weren't expecting that at all.
No, I mean, I don't give a monkey's about the Premier League.
Wolves have been seventh or eighth since Christmas.
And then Burnley.
Just above the relegation zone.
17th.
I know. Not good enough.
19th, aren't you?
Well, it's 17th. We 3 points would put us up to 15th. Another 3 points would put us to 13th. So it's not disastrous, but we do need to pull our, because we've got played 29, Stephen.
31.
So 7 games to go, and we need 10 points.
But you can see how well Wolves are doing. They're going to spend $30 million. On taking a player that they've taken on loan and converting it into a permanent. 30 million at Wolves.
And we come up to the hour, so it's goodbye from myself in Wiltshire. Stephen?
Tatty bye from Stoke.
And it's out to John.
So it's goodbye from all of us. Goodbye from me in the Midlands. Him up that way, him down that way. And our friend from Scotland was, I think, in the air in transit from London to Scotland, so we didn't see him today. Good side, Wolves just beat Man U in the cup. They certainly did. Did you see any of the pre-match entertainment? That was unbelievable, the pre-match entertainment. So it's goodbye for me, it's goodbye from him, it's
goodbye
from him. I'll say goodbye on behalf of Peter, who didn't turn up. But we knew we wasn't going to, so we'll forgive him. So, bye.
Bye.